Bai explains, we see from a brayso, Rabbi Yehuda says having benefit from something that's aser bahano is mutter when it's unavoidable, even if it's intended. A brayso says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would sit and teach the Torah in the shade of the Heichal. Now that's an unavoidable benefit. He had to teach it because of a large number of talmidim. That's what he had space, but it was intended and it was permitted. This brayso must follow Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Shimon surely would say it's aser based on the intent. Rava says not approved because the Heichal was made to protect what was inside. Using its shade from the outside is considered to be an unusual use, and therefore it would be mutter. Rava explains that we see from a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says having benefit from something is also bahano, it's also when it's unavoidable and intended. Because the Mishnah, which all seem to say that everyone seems to agree with, says that when repairs or maintenance are needed to be done to the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the craftsmen doing the work were lowered from above in boxes that only allowed them to see the wall in front of them to prevent them from gazing around the room. This is a case of unavoidable and intended benefit, and we see that it's also. Abai says it's not approved because Shimon ben Pazi, the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, the name of Kapar, says that the halachas of Me'ila don't apply with regard to sound, sight, and smell. Therefore, the only reason that they had to be enclosed in a box is a special chumrah, not because it was actually aser. Another version says that Rava says from the fact that Bakapara says there's no me'ila regarding sound, seeing things, and smell, he seems to be saying that there's no me'ila, but it's still aser. Presumably, Bakapara is saying that it's aser even for the people standing inside the Beis HaMikdash doing the avodah. For them, it's unavoidable and intended, and yet it's aser. Abai would say that Bakapara refers only to people standing on the outside for whom the benefit is avoidable. We said Bakapara says that Allah's me'ila don't apply with regard to sound, seeing things, and smell. In fact, Gemara Bryce says that someone who smells like a Torah has committed me'ila. Rather, a Papa said that sound and sight have no me'ila, but because there's no substance, smell has no me'ila. If one smells like a Torah after the column of smoke has arisen, at which time the mitzvah has been completed. In fact, tomorrow we find that one commits me'ila by benefiting from Trumas Hadeshen, even though the mitzvah is already done, has been completed. Where it says the Torah tells us that one commits me'ila by Trumas Hadeshen and by using the clothing of the Kohen Gadol after Yom Kippur, even though in each case the mitzvah has already been completed. Since the Torah taught us as halacha in each of these cases, it shneks Trumas Boim Ke'echad and means that it shouldn't be applied elsewhere. So it's Dafkan, Trumas Hadeshen, and the Big Day Kuhn Alachi Yavakei Purim, but not anywhere else. Fechmer Abdai says that a regular Kohen may use the clothing of the Kohen Gadol after Yom Kippur. If so, why doesn't Trumas Hadeshen, which now is not Shnei Kesuvim B'Chidechos, it's Trumas Hadeshen to teach that all of the places are subject to Me'ila even if the mitzvah has been performed? Where it says the case of Egla Rufa also teaches that you're not allowed to have benefits from the mitzvah even after it's done. Therefore, it is Shnei Kesuvim B'Chidechos, committing Me'ila after the mitzvah is done, and therefore you can't learn out to other places. Fechmer, there are those who say that even when the Torah teaches Shnei Kesuvim B'Chidechos, still it can be used as a source to teach elsewhere. If so, why don't you learn to everyone else? Trumas Hadeshen and Egla Rufa have words of miut that act to limit the application to those cases. It says v'samoi and ha arufa. Shlechtimar Bryce says if a person hitched up a calf to a team of threshing cows so that it should be near its mother and be able to nurse from it, and the calf assisted in the threshing as well, the calf may still be used as an Egla Rufa, even though an Egla Rufa is something which can't have any work have been done with it. The Bryce continues that if he had in mind that the calf should nurse and thresh, then it becomes possible to use it as an Egla Rufa. Now, this second case is a case of unavoidable but intended benefit. We see that it's Osir. The Bryce says the case of Egla Rufa is different because the Pasuk says, Asher loy ubad ba. It's a funny word that's being used, which teaches that even unintended labor makes it Osir. In fact, if so, why is it mutter in the first case? Where the Republic explains, we're told by the Pasuk that a calf becomes possible to use as an Egla Rufa only when the owner is pleased that the work was performed. So therefore, in the first case where he didn't intend for it and therefore he's not pleased with it since it happened on its own, it doesn't become possible. In the second case, he intended for it and therefore he's pleased with it and therefore it becomes possible. In fact, Gemara Brisa says that a found object may not be used for the finder's benefit, but it must be cared for. Therefore, a found garment may only be spread out for its own care, not to beautify the finder's house. The Brisa says, if a finder has guests, he's not even allowed to spread out for his own care. Presumably, this is because, although the benefit is unavoidable, it needs to be spread out for its own care. Since it's also intended, it's usur. Where it says the case of a found object is different because spreading it out in front of people leads to its total loss, either through ayin hara or through it becomes known and then people come and steal it. Our Mishnah said, which we know much follower of Shimon says, that the seller of clothing may wear the merchandise even if it's shotness as long as they don't intend to benefit from it. This is an unavoidable but an unintended benefit, and we see that Shimon allows it, not like the first version of Rava, which had said that Shimon would hold not like that. So to the first version. Mishnah said, "V'lo yasik boy v'chulu." Zakhmar Bryce says, "If someone lights an oven with peels of arlo or straws of klayim, if it's an oven that was lit for the first time, which completes the oven making process, the oven must be crushed. If it's an older oven, then the oven has to be let to totally cool down before you can use it to bake or cook anything. If one baked bread using this fire, Rebbe says the bread is aser. The Chacham says the bread is mutter. However, all agree that the bread was baked from the coals of the aser items, the bread is mutter." Zakhmar another Bryce says that whether the oven is old or new, it only has to be left to cool down. Zakhmar's first Bryce follows Rebbe, who says the bread would be aser. The second Bryce follows Rabban, who says the bread would be mutter. Zakhmar Rebbe says the bread is aser because the aser items actually bake the bread. When the oven is completed with the aser items and the oven is later used for baking bread with a permitted fire, the bread is baked with a combination of aser items and the aser oven and the mutter fire. In that case, who says the Rebbe would say it's aser? The Mora says the first bride follows Rebbe Eliezer, who says that the combination of two things, one of which is aser, is likewise aser. In fact, where do we find that Rebbe Eliezer says this? It can't be from what Rebbe Eliezer says in the Mishnah that when yeast of chulin and yeast of truma fell into a dough, each one by itself not being large enough to make the dough rise, but together making the dough rise, Rabbi Yehuda says we look at whichever fell in last. If the truma fell in last, the dough becomes usher to a zar. But if the chulin fell in last, it's mutter. Abaye explains that Rabbi Yehuda only says that when the truma yeast was removed. However, if both yeasts remain in the dough is usher because the combination of two things, one of which is usher, is also usher. So this, maybe that's what this is, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that who the Tana over there. The Mara says this, the proof can't be from here, because maybe the reason Rabbi Eliezer is not like Abaye says. Maybe it's because he follows whatever fell in last, not because whether or not the truma was removed. That's what Abaye says. Maybe it's not the case. The Gemara also can't be from a Mishnah that discusses using the wood of an Asherah tree. The Mishnah says if someone fired up a new oven that was never fired up before with Asherah wood, the oven must be crushed. Rabbi Eliezer says the oven becomes Asher, but says that you can redeem the Asher benefit onto money and dispose of the money. This proof can't be from there, because maybe the reason Rabbi Eliezer is because he's more machmer when dealing with Avodah Zarah, but would not hold that way in other with other Yisurim. The Gemara says it must be from the case of an Asherah wood, because if not, who would we say the Tana of the first Brisa is? Also, the Brisa clearly says that Rabbi Eliezer says a combination of two things, one of which is Asher, is also Asher by all Yisurim, not just by Avodah Zarah.